Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and apparently we've totally skipped fall and are waiting for a spring awakening.
Oh, no.
On the town, we're Les Miserables, but on the 20th century, we're turning violet. I stay warm because she loves me, that Cinderella. But we both still think that Fiddler on the Roof is a mystery Edwin Drood would love to know the answer to.
That was good. I like that. That was a lot of
Do you know what that is?
I mean, there's your
Those
puns.
Are puns.
No, I've never heard the show before.
Those were all the losing revivals from the past 3 years of the Tony.
I see. I was trying to figure out how he could have been in every single one of those shows.
I thought that's where we're starting. I was definitely not in any of those except one of them. So I don't.
You're just Broadway swing. You just swung all of us.
Sure, yeah. Definitely qualified to do that.
So joining us today is the usual revival loving fools, including Kevin, Annie 3. Molly's totally okay. Jagger.
I liked your movie man voice.
Thank you.
Molly's totally okay.
In a world. And Kimberly, our game master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Keeping us safe
since
May.
Earlier this year. And with us today is a great guest who made his Broadway debut in the 2015 Tony-nominated revival of Spring Awakening as the voice and guitar of Moritz. Let's give a big Broadwaysed welcome to friend of the show. Alex Paniello.
Hello,
thanks for having me.
Of course. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Alex Paniello, his name, on both of those, together, at symbol in front of it.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
It checks out.
Yeah, at this point, if nobody has used Twitter or Instagram before,
no, they know how to use it. Brian's helping you out.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Great. So let's just go right to it. What are we drinking?
Yeah, I just blatantly didn't sing it this time. I don't know why. I poured everyone.
You did. What did you pour for us, bartender?
Jack Daniels and a Schweppes ginger ale.
So Jack and ginger.
Cheers, everyone.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers again.
I guess
cheers.
That's the correct name.
Cheers.
I was really torn because I didn't know if I should get Schweppes or Canada Dry.
This is something that doesn't matter at all when you're.
But yeah, I didn't think
drinking whiskey.
It's just like,
as long as I got Jack Daniels, it doesn't really matter what the ginger ale is.
So what do we want to do first? Do we want to do what have you seen this week, or do we want to, Alex? You want to field some questions? Up to you.
Gosh, we're gonna do them both, yeah?
Yeah.
Then let's, what have we seen?
What have you seen this week?
Oh, that's a good one. Have you seen anything this week?
What have I seen?
Or recently, or in the near future?
Oh Hello is very high on my list. I gotta do it. You know, I keep seeing the Too Much Tuna guests get posted on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, like, every single time one's posted, I'm like, oh, man, that would have been a good one to see.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this out loud to hold myself to it because, like, I cannot let that show get away. Like, I can't let it get away. But what have I seen? I mean, I've been doing this thing called NAMPT.
Yeah.
We had the first performance of that today. So it's this thing where composers, I guess. This may be wrong.
National Alliance of Musical Theater.
Yes, there we go. Explaining that would be good.
I went as an audience member last year, so I can speak to that side. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, so, I mean, it seems, you know, these composers get to submit pieces of their work to be seen by large amounts of industry people. So I'm working on a show called Mortality Play by Scotty Arnold and Alana Jacoby. Maybe I'm pronouncing her last name wrong. I'm not sure. But she's great, and it's a cool thing. So I've been seeing that happen because, you know, with these things you have like 3 days to rehearse. So, you know, and I thought it was kind of just more of a traditional reading. You know, you like rehearse for however many hours you're allowed, and then you do the thing. But this morning we get there at New World Stages, and I realize I'm like, oh wait, it's like the Sundance Film Festival of musical theater. Like,
NAMPT is crazy.
It's nuts. Like, New World Stages has two levels and numerous theaters, and every theater has a different show and a different line of people getting ready to do it, and like lots and lots of industry people are there to see all of the shows, take notes, do this and that. So it was like this wild, wild thing. So I got to see a lot of friends who I haven't seen in a while who are all doing other shows and see how our show came together, like in air quotes. I'm doing air quotes. on its feet. So yeah, that's what I've seen, and that's what I want to see.
With Katie Cabot, stage manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is her.
Oh,
Katie.
Katie.
Katie
shows up everywhere.
I love Katie.
Cheers to Katie.
Katie Cabot and NAMPT.
Yeah.
NAMPT is really fun because you have to qualify to be a member of NAMPT, and only members can attend the festival.
Oh.
Or, as I did, a friend of a person who's in the show, you can get a ticket to that one show.
Okay.
But if you're a NAMPT member, you just register for whatever shows you want to see. They're staggered enough that you can see 3, 4, 5 a day.
Right.
And they, I think they're only an hour?
45.
45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Cool. And then I think there's a 15-minute flip over.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, it's a huge networking event for the people who are going to watch the things. And then it's this just like love affair with new musicals.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Happening for what, 2 days? Three?
Today and tomorrow, so two, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And I mean, it...
New World gets packed.
I didn't expect it. I mean, we came out from the wings to, like, sit down at our stools and do it.
Yeah.
There were, like, 300 people there.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa! Like,
that's
so,
a lot for that space.
Yeah, and we're doing it at 11:30 a.m., and tomorrow our slot is at 9:30 a.m., so I'm gonna wake up and just be like, I'm gonna hope these notes exist somewhere. Just like, hope that I don't ruin this new musical.
But
that
again,
these
like
people are writing.
You're performing for theater people who are like, it is 9:30. They're like the heroes
I would like to hope that that's the case.
Yeah, and then there's like the one old lady in the background that's just like, well, they can't sing at all.
Yeah.
Well,
where is she not?
What have you guys seen?
Well, I'm going to see Falsettos with Brian tomorrow.
Yes,
because
very
cool.
I... Or the time is there. We've seen it already!
Ooh, it was great! It was terrible.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll come
pick
on.
One.
I saw it already. It's great. It's great.
Oh, awesome.
I'm so excited. Yeah, Brian had a snafu when he was getting his lottery tickets, so they gave him 2 comp seats instead.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So shout out to the GMs over at Falsettos for being awesome about
and
that.
And we had a competition to see who would win the
second
ticket.
No, I didn't
have
comps. I paid for them.
And
They're still lottery tickets.
They re-lottery me.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He got new lottery tickets.
But they're awesome. We're literally front row.
Great.
Right center.
Yeah,
we'll
they're
front
right center.
Up
it's
we'll
great.
Right
we'll be holding on to the ground.
To see everybody's tears really, really close
awesome.
And real good.
Why is it sad? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
No spoilers.
So we've seen that. And then, did we all see the Hamilton documentary?
Oh, yeah.
I did watch it. Cozied up in bed.
What are your thoughts?
So I loved seeing that for... I'm going to drop a name so hard that it's going to shake the quake. So I know Lynn, because we did 21 Jump Street together. And,
oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
which, watch that.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. It's really cool. So I remember, you know, we were working on this right before, or it was like 1 or 2 weeks after the final workshop of Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just talking to me about it, like, yeah, like I'm working on this show called Hamilton. And like to think about it like that, like, I'm writing a new show. I'm like excited to see how it comes out. Now knowing what it became is nuts, especially when, you know, so many parts of that documentary are showing him. He's like, yeah, I'm like moving into this place I'm renovating. And I remember talking to him, but he's like, I'm renovating a place right now. And I'm like this and that. So it's wild to go back and see that. To see the future of it and to see, you know, these people that some of which I'm friends with, some of which I'm not friends with, but to see everybody's like wild ride on this show that became like the biggest thing ever. And also to have my favorite part about it was when Chris Jackson and David Diggs were talking about how they play these roles. And it's something that I think a lot of people aren't thinking about, but these actors have thought about. I think in David's words, he said, like, so I'm playing Thomas Jefferson, but, like, he sucked. Like, we got to remember, like, this guy owned slaves. He was not – and to hear Chris Jackson talk about how he's made peace to the best of his ability with the fact that he's playing this man that we all, you know, think of as larger than life, this, like, amazing person. But you have to remember, again, he owned slaves, and there's so much, I think – importance in like appreciating and respecting someone's genius and being able to separate that from the person that they are. And
yeah.
to hear them talk about, you know, like I may love this rapper and all of the work that they do, but like you know, some of his lyrics may be, like, riddled with homophobia and sexism, but, like, I'm separating those two things, and I think that's something really, really important, especially for the younger fans of Hamilton to remember, you know, that Hamilton was a ridiculously flawed human being. He was a jerk a lot of the time, and to hear them talk about this is awesome, because it reminds you of all the care and work they took into this whole show. I went on a long tangent, but I liked that documentary.
No,
that's a good one.
Yeah, it was so good. I wanted it to be longer. Like, anytime an interview was over, I was like, is there somewhere where I can watch the raw footage of that whole thing?
I know.
Like, the Sondheim. Just more B-roll.
Well, it was very clear from that documentary, too, that, I mean, we knew they taped it, but they have that thing taped. And I hope one day that can come out.
It'll at least go into the
archives,
well,
for sure.
Archives.
I think that happened no matter what, but you know,
they had good shots. Like, they had shots like more on stage, and I was like, they're gonna wait 2 years and it'll.
I hope.
Yeah, we'll see how they're.
Yeah, because it'll be a Fathom event.
Maybe that'll
be weekend.
What I
see. It'll make so much money.
You know what's going to be a Fathom event, Tangent? They're releasing
Allegiance,
Space Jam.
Oh, she loves Allegiance too.
And Allegiance, I think, too.
But also Space Jam, guys.
You can just watch Space Jam whenever you want.
But now you go to the big screen and watch Space Jam.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's your chance. Your dance.
Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny.
Is that the quote to end
the green and purple and
the blue guys?
Yeah, they get
all the monsters.
They get them.
Thank you.
They get them.
Anyway, Kevin, did you watch it?
It's in my DVR. I've been very busy.
Kevin has seen none of Hamilton.
I'm also kind of afraid that if I watch it, it's going to, like, ruin not having seen it yet.
You'll be
like,
okay.
Like, ruining your first time seeing it?
Yeah.
Just, have you listened to the album at all?
Yes.
Okay, you're fine.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, you're
fine. It looks the way
Do they have updates in the documentary?
I believe they do.
Oh, poor Tony Knight.
That was
a Muskets.
That was
Muskets. So watch it. If you I'm sure you probably watched it, except for Kevin. But let's give a cheers to PBS. They did an incredible job.
Yeah, great job.
PBS.
Great performances.
Mm-hmm. Great performances.
Is the name of the series in which they put things on PBS. Okay.
let's ask you some questions now.
Ask them.
Great. So let's just straight up start with how you booked Spring Awakening. Like, what was the process? Was it kind of crazy? Was it pretty straightforward?
There wasn't a process. So I was sitting on my couch waiting to go to a catering shift. I was... Do you really not know the story? Because it's...
No.
Oh, wow. It's... I've talked about it a couple times, and I love seeing people's faces, because it's bull...
No.
Yeah, this story... Oh, Carmen will come on in anyway. So I was sitting on my couch, like, half-dressed in my, like, catering get-up with my little vest, and I got followed on Twitter by Andy Mientis, and I was like, well, that's not so weird. We have a lot of mutual friends. He probably is just following me.
Yeah.
But he was following me so he could direct message me. And he immediately messaged me, which I will pull up right now so that I say exactly what happened.
A lot of direct messages.
Dude, this thing happened in the last year where, like, direct messaging started being used for, like, legitimate business and networking things, which is, like, weird. But anyway.
Social media's taken over the game.
Yeah, it sure is. So he hits me up with this message that says, hey, dude, A, Matt Doyle says we should be buds. B, looking for an actor musician for a project in L.A. starting very, very soon. Checking your availability. Do you have a summer job yet? And so I was just like, oh, like, you know, we just closed the show Brooklynite I was in with Matt, and Matt had mentioned to me that I'd get along with Andy just because we all like video games and stuff. And from there, he was kind of like, here's what's going on. We need someone to play Voice of Moritz and play guitar in this show because they had an actor who had to pull out because he got another job. And, you know, this was the second production of this show that they were doing. They moved from a 99-seat theater in L.A. to this bigger theater in L.A.
Oh.
The groundwork had been laid. It was this very critically acclaimed thing. And it was nuts because when I was doing the American Idiot tour, our music supervisor, Jared Stein, was the guy who was working on this Spring Awakening. And we had been talking about it. He was like, I think you might be right for this. And I was like, well, send me the details. And I was like, I can't move out to L.A. for $100 a week or whatever that, like, you know,
the
contract.
The 99
seat was.
Yeah.
So I was like, good luck with it, you know, and then I saw the reviews and I was like, ooh, I wish I could have been a part of that. But then the universe worked its ways and then, you know, Andy was like, okay, cool, like, I'm glad you're interested. Let me, like, talk to Michael, who his fiance at the time, now husband, who was directing. He's like, let me reach out to him and just, like, explain to him that you're interested. So I went to my catering shift the next day, same exact situation. I was in my little catering outfit once again. And I got
you
him.
You weren't working. You were just wearing the catering outfit.
No, yeah. I just wanted to feel gorgeous. So I got reached out to by that guy, Jared, who I said, he's like, hey, would you be able to hop on Skype right now? And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I get on Skype, and then it's like two of the producers, Jared and Michael Arden, just sitting there. I was like, hey, guys, like, what's up?
Glad I dressed up for you.
I know.
So, Tim, you look a little bit like Adam Scott.
Yes, I've gotten that many times.
I'm just in the catering uniform. I just imagine you like partying down. Like, are we having fun yet?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, but
sorry.
No, it's good. The Adam Scott thing comes up more than you'd ever imagine. But yeah, so Michael was just like, this is like a guerrilla audition. Like, we're attacking you with an audition. Like, can you just like sing really quick? And I was like, yeah, hold up, let me grab my guitar. And I was like, should I just sing Don't Do Sadness? Is that fine? And they were like, yeah. So I just played it and sang it. And then they're like, awesome. Okay, we'll talk about this and we'll figure it out. 30 seconds after the Skype call ended, I get a text from Michael. He's like, we want you to do it. We think you're the guy for it, blah, blah, blah. And within like 3 or 4 days, I was on a plane out to LA to just do this thing, being put up in one of the producers' houses just to do it, because it was such a last minute replacement. And
these stories are amazing.
It's nuts. It's
this is my favorite part of the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's also
getting drunk.
Yeah, that's it.
It's, speaking of.
Yeah, speaking of. Cheers. Hey,
cheers. 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 He just jumped on a plane and flew to LA, stayed in this guy's house, and put on the show.
Yeah, and the house was like literally four houses up the hill from Andy and Michael's. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just here. Like, they were like, we're really close to you. So, you know, every day I walked down the hill, we'd have our coffee, we'd go to rehearsal. I was really given like a wonderful experience of living in LA and like making theater out there, which doesn't really so much get to happen. And now it's starting to, now that Michael's, you know, working with that theater to be artist. I mean, he's doing Merrily Roll Along with like Wayne Brady.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's dope. And oh my God, this will be a fun story for the podcast. That first day, there was this apartment house was dumb. I will never own anything like this. But our producer had just moved into it. He's like, I'm so sorry. There's literally no furniture. So all I had was like a pull-out bed and no furniture. But I had the most amazing view you could imagine. It had a patio that looked out over all of Los Angeles.
So you were like North Hollywood, like on the
Silver Lake, the hills of Silver Lake.
Yeah. Oh,
so.
Wow.
I'm out there, and they had just dropped me off recently, and I'm, like, chilling there. I'm like, man, what a whirlwind this has been. And then I start seeing smoke rise from, like, just down the hill a little bit. And I'm like, I guess someone, like, lit a fire or something. Yeah. The smoke started turning from gray to, like, black.
Okay.
No.
And I was like...
They were electing the Pope.
Yes, they sure were. And I was like, what in the hell is going on? And then from black to a pillar of fire.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, like something's going on here. And then just like flames in the air. So I call 911 and they're like, are you in Silver Lake? I was like, yeah. They're like, it's been reported. Like, don't worry. Just get out of the area as fast as you can. I was like,
it's a volcano.
Okay. Better than a volcano.
Okay.
I run out. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is like, I just got here. And then Michael drives down the block. He's like, I was looking for you to make sure you're good. Like, you see that, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I don't know where Andy is. I gotta go find Andy. So he was like, just stay, you know, down the hill. I'll find Andy. I'll pick him up. We get together. Everything's okay. You know, fire comes and puts out this fire, this explosion fire. Then we all like rendezvous back at Andy and Michael's house and we throw on the news and there's a helicopter going above, like filming it. And apparently it was a drug den. That it was like a home, like a gorgeous home that just like a drug cartel was using as a front. And apparently someone had tipped off the police, which is how they got there so fast.
Oh.
that they were there. So these guys blew their place up.
Whoa.
And it was the most like Breaking Bad thing that I've ever, and like Andy and Michael were laughing. They're like, it's your first day here and Silver Lake is adorable. So I don't know how, I don't know.
The nicest part of LA and they're
it was so crazy.
You showed up and it was like a disaster movie. Like, I can't find Andy, get back in the car.
It really was more high stakes than I made it sound for at least 10 minutes. But it was crazy.
If you're stranded on a desert island, and you had one console with one video game, what would it be? The obvious follow-up question to that story.
Yeah, they're connected. God. Right now...
Or even, like, just your all-time favorite play over and over again.
Well, I could give you an all-time favorite, but I could... I'm going to answer the question more. I'm thinking of, like, replayability, where I'm at, this and that.
Okay.
I'd take a PC, and I would take Overwatch with me. And we're going to assume I have internet connection and can play.
Yeah.
I've just been playing that game a whole bunch with my friends.
That's the magic of this scenario.
Yeah, well, it's, everything works.
Is that the one with the cute girl in the airplane? The commercial for it?
I don't know.
Jay made me watch some, like, preview for a video game that made him cry. And it was, like, this little girl in the museum or something.
There is being like, you may be right. It's, it's a multiplayer shooter, but it's, like, it looks very Pixar-y, and it's very,
Okay.
It's pretty great, and, yeah.
Pixar-y shooter game?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, on the heels of that, what's your favorite musical?
God.
You go to the island to play your video game, to play Overwatch, and you're given, like, a magical ticket that you can write in any musical, and you can go through that musical that night before you go away forever to play a video game. What do you see?
Very specific.
Yeah.
It's so hard. I'm very bad at picking favorite things, if it was unclear by me, like, ravaging my face and hair as I, like, try to think of it. You know, there was a time where I definitely would have said Spring Awakening, but, like, after you do it, you have such a different relationship with it that it, like, morphs and changes. Man, probably something like Sweeney Todd, just because it's so masterfully done, and, like, I'll be able to watch it numerous times and find things that I didn't find musically or this or that or something, and also Sweeney Todd's just, like, badass. It's great.
Are you excited for the new one in December?
Well, I was, and then it sold out in, like, 20 hours.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, because my friend Matt, who is pivotal in me even being here right now, he's in it.
Oh, right, he's Toby.
No, he's
no.
Anthony.
Anthony. That makes more sense.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
With arms like that. I it sold out in, like, 20 hours. I was like, all right, I've got a couple days to, like, sit down and, like, choose this or whatever. And then they did it, and then they announced an extension, and wonderful news for this theater that they made so much money so quickly. But, like, you know, now I'm like, well, the only seats that are left are, like, randomly scattered throughout, so I'd have to go alone, like, without somebody. And then, like, in the extension that they just added, like, smartly, they have raised the prices because they can.
They
should. But I'm sure it's going to be the total best and be really cool to see.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So, speaking of things that you get excited about, what show or thing or happened to you that you were like, oh, I want to do that?
Spring Awakening, when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah? Was that their first Broadway show?
It wasn't my first Broadway show that I ever seen, because I'm from New Jersey.
Where are you from?
Bergen County.
Oh, from Essex.
There we go.
Nice.
South.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Burlington County.
Ooh, you're a different breed.
True.
I'm from Florida.
You're an even differenter breed. Even more different breed.
Who was your first Broadway show?
Phantom.
And then, to explain your Spring Awakening story.
I mean, it was just one of those things that, like, I was 15 or 16 when it came around, and we went with, like, my high school's, like, drama club.
Yeah.
We had to, like, sign permission slips because there were
that's
boobies.
That's a fun thing to see with a parent, with a teacher.
Yeah.
We'll have to sign permission slips for boobies.
Well, don't we all? But
I don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you
don't.
I don't either, but it's all right.
For Kevin.
There he is. So it was one of those things that, you know, I had been a musician and playing guitar since I was in, like, fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I saw this thing, and it was the first time I'd ever seen a musical that I was like, huh, there's some sort of, like, world out there where if this is something I wanted to pursue, I could, because it's not just, like, you know, giant strapping men kicking their head and spinning and, singing with, like, bellowing vibratos and things. Because, you know, I grew up, like, in bands and playing, like, rock music and stuff. So I saw it and I was like, wow. And that kind of, that show kind of set me off on a path of wanting to do it and take it more seriously, because I was in a spot where, you know, you're 15, 16, people are like, what are you going to do? What do you want to be? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if I wanted to be a musician or if I wanted to be a video game designer or like
different things.
Very different things.
I don't understand.
So I didn't know what I was going to want to do. And I saw that and it made me think about things more seriously. And, you know, when I, junior and senior year, then when I did the plays, I was more serious about it. And I was like, you know, I think I'm going to try to do this. And, you know, the irony of it being Spring Awakening and that that role and that having gone on to be...
It's truly kind of crazy how we've talked to a lot of people on this podcast and there's
a lot
stories,
of full circles.
There's so many full circles.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Yeah. And it's hard to...
I was agreeing.
You didn't see it, listeners, but he just said there is and, like, slowly nodded. Like, but, yeah, man, I mean, so I think sometimes you're just... I don't know. I think the person for the job... especially in these kinds of situations, it's just, it's meant to, I don't know. I'm not like a fate believer. I don't really believe in like predetermination and things like that. But in this case, man, like I was the guy for that job. I really was, you know, they were looking for something very specific. They needed somebody who could feasibly play the role, but in a different way and also play the score on guitar, which was like even harder to find.
I mean, I can imagine the pressure on you because Gallagher won the Tony.
Sure did.
And then all of a sudden you're playing, I mean, I don't know if you consider it two-thirds or one-half, because you did guitar and voice versus, but there are only two of you.
Yeah, it's weird. It's super weird.
I was
just
thinking of that, too, because it's just like...
I had to...
Yeah, I guess explain that, working with the other actor on your
show. His name was, his name's Daniel Durant. Uh-huh. He's a wonderful deaf actor. I mean...
He was brilliant.
He's great. He really is great. And he had his own version of what that role is, and there's something...
That show was something special.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I agree. I think... probably one of the things I'm proudest of in my whole life, and I'm still very early in that. But, you know, he had his own interpretation of this role because he didn't ever see John, and he didn't know a lot. You know, there are a lot of, and even if he saw John, he wouldn't have picked up on certain things that we'd like think of that role being and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many things like he just played the role in such like a truthful and honest way to his experience as a deaf person, because in the show, you know, he's a deaf character being forced to speak in class, which is something he can't do because he's never heard sound. So he doesn't know how to make these shapes with his mouth. And that's why Moritz is failing out of school in this case, because he can't. Everything is stacked against him in a way that's completely unfair. So from my perspective, I had to come in and be like, so my job here is to try to watch that, try to make my voice do what he is doing while still having it be truthful to me, because it's not a voiceover. It won't work. Something about it doesn't gel if you think about it like that. So it's like me interpreting his acting choices through my own interpretation and my acting choices to like meet him in the middle, but also pay respect to what people are expecting, because the show was recently produced, so people were really expecting something. And
it had such intense fans.
Right,
like,
right.
I saw the original 5 times, so when I went back to the other one, I was just like, try not to think it's going to be exactly the same.
And it couldn't have been more different, but it was a crazy thing. And then on top of all of that, I'm still, you know, delivering all of the lines, but following his speed and pacing of it. And then during the songs, it's my job to sing the song, but also give him cues so he knows what line of the song we're on, because he doesn't know that. So part of my job was to, like, again, for listeners, you don't see this, I'm giving little numbers on my chest. And, you know, things like that will give the deaf actor an idea of where we're at. So, like, you know, like, it'd be like, I didn't do this particular one, but our actor who was playing Melchior, Austin, he would go, like, again, you're not going to see this, but I'm giving numbers at the start.
It'll be on our Instagram.
Great, there we go. Yeah. So it would be, oh, she's gonna whip it out. She's whipping it out.
Right now?
She's whipping it out right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll do it right now. So, you know, he would go with one finger. Oh, I'm waiting. He would go with one finger. God, I dreamed there was an angel who could hear me through the wall as I cried out like in Latin, this is so not life at all. Help me out. You know, things like that. So he would know what line of the song to be signing. He's so catching cool. his peripheral vision.
So cool.
And all of that. So I'm doing things like that.
That's just something you don't think about as an audience member that went into the direction.
I know. Yeah, and you... I mean, the things that... The work that happened that the audience never saw in this show is mind-blowing to me, and I did it and understood it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, our choreographer, Spencer Liff, who... the work he did in that show, I think, was almost too good that people didn't realize what he had done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not someone to harp on awards, but, like, my heart broke when he did not get a nomination for his choreography. But right. I think that that is because he, much like his work in Hedwig the year prior or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
made his work invisible because his job was to disappear so you didn't think about it. But something he always said was his favorite parts of the show were when things got ever so slightly unhinged, so that the audience could remind themselves, like, oh my God, like, wait, these people can't hear. Like, you know, everything was so perfectly done and every sign was chosen and every hearing actor is cueing the deaf actors and we are such a cohesive unit that if one person stops paying attention for a moment, this whole show is going to fall apart. And,
yeah.
and it's those moments when something just went, whoop, like, we got to fix that,
yeah.
that the audience can, like, you know, like, oh, the right, like, yeah. like these actors aren't just signing. They are deaf. They don't have yeah. any concept of where we are musically, which was just a bananas thing to do and think about.
Well, cheers to yeah. that
yeah.
production.
It was cool, guys.
Yeah. Like,
awesome.
Thank well, you very much.
On that note, let's play some games.
Let's do it.
So, the first game is called Take a Hint.
I've got the busted pencil.
The busted yeah. Halloween pencil.
Well, it was in my, it was on my desk, and it looked like David Pumpkin's suit.
David
Guys, Pumpkin. We got to talk. We got to talk.
He's on your... Any questions?
Any questions?
Oh, wait, I saw it.
Listeners, you can't see this, but it is a photo of me wearing the suit.
Oh. Where?
I found it. I was walking past the Spirit of Halloween with my friend because that's where they sell it, and I live up in Harlem. And I was like,
"Oh, I know which one you're talking about."
I was yeah. like, "Let me just like pop in there real quick," because like on the internet that thing sold out in like 2 seconds.
Right.
And I walked in, and there they were, just sitting there, like because it's like, you know, like if they're gonna be anywhere, it's gonna be in the Spirit of Halloween
right.
in Harlem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I walked in, man, and I like tried it on. I was like, "I'm not gonna buy this," but like, let me see how much it costs. And it said $40, but was scribbled out and had 100 over it because they knew
right.
that everybody wanted this thing. And I was
someone
like,
"Someone called them and was like, guys, something happened last night on SNL.
Yeah, I know.
Just to upcharge it."
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Anyway, all
right, let's what's happening.
Okay, so we were playing 3 games. So
okay.
and on the point and the points from all of the games will count towards your total score and decide who wins the prize.
Okay,
amazing.
Okay.
So the first game is called Take a Hint. So just make a little spot for you to write your score in for there.
Take a hint.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Yeah.
I mean, the game's actually called Take a Hint, but I thought of it that way. Loose Lyrics is the second.
Ooh.
And Pick a Little, Talk a Little is the third game. Okay, so I'll explain our first game.
Okay.
I will also hand out another piece of paper.
Okay.
On this piece of paper, you're going to rip it into, like, thirds.
Okay. Rip it into thirds?
Yeah, but you like, write things down on it, and then... So, I want each of you to write the name of a show, the name of a character, and the name of an actor or actress.
They can be different from each other.
Different from each other, 3 different pieces of paper.
One on each.
Okay.
So, actor, character, show.
And I'm going to do it too. And then we're going to make a pile in the middle. Or actually, let's use a cup. I was like, I should bring a bowl for this game. And I was like, I am not bringing a bowl around with me all day. That would be ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll explain the game while Kevin finishes up his words.
Yeah, Kevin. How many times have you pulled it? Just once?
So this game is called Take a Hint.
Take a Hint.
If it is your turn to guess...
That was not a fart. That was me. that sounded really good. Hold on, wait, ready?
Oh, it really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it
true.
Totally sounds like
you
a fart.
You ever watch Freaks and Geeks?
He just actually had to fart twice, and so he made
supposed to. I know I'm supposed
there's
to.
There's a scene in Freaks and Geeks where there's a guy and this girl sitting next to each other in, like, chemistry class, and they're on stools, and she gets up and farts. And then she goes, oh, it was just the chair. And then there's this whole, like, silent sequence of him, like, looking around, sitting on her chair and trying to, like, squeak the same way. And it doesn't work. It's fantastic. That's what I
That's so good.
So he just called you out, basically.
Yeah. No, he called himself out.
Yeah.
He did that third time.
There it is. You can't recreate that.
No, you can't.
So, if it is your turn to guess the answer, you will pass the cup to the person next to you. Okay. They will pick a slip of paper, and they will tell you one word to try and get you to guess what is on that slip of paper. If you get the correct answer from the one word, you get 3 points.
Okay.
If you can't get it from the one word, they pass it to the next person. They will add another word. So they will say that word again. And then add a new one.
Okay.
If you get it then, you get 2 points. If you need to pass it to a third person and get 3 words, you get 1 point.
Okay.
If you cannot get it, you get 0 points.
Great.
Okay.
And
okay.
So we'll each have a turn.
Okay.
Got it.
Ready? Who wants to go first?
You can start.
I want to watch. I'm gonna watch. I don't know how much of that I retained.
Okay. So then I'm going to pass the cup to you, Kevin.
Okay.
So then Kevin,
so I pick a card.
Yes.
I say one word, they can guess it.
Yes.
Frost.
Frozen. Frost Nixon.
Do you keep guessing?
Do you keep guessing? Do you get one guess?
No, you can keep guessing
until
you get it.
But then why would you move it to the next person if you can keep guessing?
Because he can only say Frost.
So that's the end. So until so she'll have to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Frost.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Frozen. Cupcakes.
What?
No.
Like frosting?
Yeah, but why would that be any of the three things that would...
Go back. You said it before.
That's
I said Frost
words.
Nixon?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you can't say any words. Brian, 2 words.
Oh.
But one is Frost.
I'm trying to get you to guess it?
Yes.
But then that would work against me getting points.
So you're trying
I
to
thought about it already, and I decided we were nice people, and that's not how we were going to play.
Oh, Nixon.
But it's not Frost Nixon?
There are three types of things that you had us write down.
Which is a play. Frank Langella?
Yes.
Who wrote down Frank Langella?
It was me.
Of course it was. You idiot. So that's how you get people to not win, is you choose really weird things like
okay,
Frank Langella.
So you got,
so I got
you
two,
got 2 points.
Points.
Okay.
So now, Kevin, it is your turn, so you hand it to Brian.
It's my turn.
Oh!
You know, the fact that you help other people get points.
No, I get it. We just got to not be rude.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
Right.
Fiddler.
Tapia.
Yes.
Damn.
Oh! Woo!
Look how nice
so then
I am.
Write down that you got 3 points.
Look how nice I
got.
Yes,
okay,
so you got 3 points. Okay,
yeah.
So now.
The next game I did change the rules because I realized that you would have done something like that.
Okay.
But this game
I just
want to
win.
Okay, so now Brian's trying to guess and you're giving him one word.
Correct.
Vibrato.
Falsettos. Andra. Yes.
Damn.
Oh! But this game
wow, I was thinking Carly Carmelo or somebody. But
that's
like
what I was going to say.
Vibrato.
But, like, who has the distinctive vibrato?
Oh,
it's Audra.
Audra.
Baker.
Into the Woods.
Yeah.
Good one.
Great, 3 points.
Okay, so I'm losing.
So I move to the next game.
We're going to move on to loose lyrics.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I want you all to write down a line of a lyric and a tune that most people know. And those are on 2 separate pieces of paper.
Great.
And I wrote down a few earlier, so we'll just use those.
And then a tune that most people know, unassociated with that lyric.
Correct.
Cool.
And then when we play the game, in one cup, this one right here, you're going to put the lyrics.
Okay.
In this cup, you're going to put the tune.
Again, not a fart. Not a fart. It's a cute little fart, too. It's not like nothing's ripping. It's just like ready? Like.
Okay, so, one at a time, you are going to pick a piece of paper from, this is lyrics, this is tune. You're going to pick one from each cup.
Yeah.
One at a time, sing the lyrics to the tune of the other piece
of
paper.
Oh, man, that's really hard.
Whoever guesses both the tune and the lyric gets the piece of paper. So
paper
if you,
is a point.
Yeah,
that's,
you win.
This is mad hard. This is super hard.
Or like those
okay,
are the...
I'm ready.
Yeah,
okay.
This was a tricky one.
Who's going
one.
First? I'll go first.
Okay.
Brian's going first.
So you pick one from the other.
And, so
and now
we
we're all trying,
yes,
all three of us
are trying to guess
competing
first.
With each other.
Yes.
Okay.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
You forfeit the place.
Amazing Grace is the tune.
In your bed.
This is a bird.
Bird. Oh, no!
Oh, I didn't even. My brain didn't work. All right, I got a point though.
So, burn to the tune of Amazing Grace.
All right. Ooh, this is a good game. All right. Okay. Midnight, not a sound from the...
Memory.
Yes.
And Memory from Cats.
Is that correct?
Yeah, because I wrote it down.
Yeah, great. and we've just learned that I don't know the lyrics to Memory from
Cats. Okay.
The more you know.
Also, like, the lyric I wrote ain't half that. That was gonna keep going for a minute.
She gave you, like, a whole lyric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My White Knight.
My White Knight.
Yeah.
From Fifty Cent. That
was Not a Lancelot. Nor an angel with wings.
Broadway Baby.
Yes! Who said My White Knight first?
All right.
That one was really hard.
I was like, why are there more than... Okay. I'm going to have to just repeat the same lyric over and over again.
Okay.
This is what you waited for. This
Skinner,
is
giddy, giddy.
Wait.
Yeah. I don't know that one.
This is mine. Say it to me now from once.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I would not have gotten that.
I was trying to be a jerk.
Okay. So I got two. All right.
I got three.
I got one.
I got three.
Okay. Next game.
I got two.
Oh, show cards.
Show cards.
This next game involves our show cards.
Oh, these things are cool.
Okay. So I have a pile of show cards in my hand. This game is called Talk a Little. Sorry. Pick a little. Talk a Little. So, I'm going to set the timer for 2 minutes.
Okay.
So this is both a game of us all trying to be fast. You are going to pick up a show card. You're going to taboo style try to get the people around you to guess the card. Once they have guessed the card, you pass the pile to the next person.
Got it.
And after 2 minutes, whoever
most
got
points.
The most wins.
Love it. Ready?
Let me set for 2 minutes and go.
Oh, man. So I can say anything I want?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Riff Raff.
Riff Carney.
Keep going.
Nope.
O'Brien.
Crazy.
Oh,
talk about vibratos. Yes.
Esparza.
Okay, so you,
oh,
get, you keep that.
You keep that.
I keep that. You get that.
Gloria Estefan.
Anna Pania.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Anna.
Like,
friends, on
friends on Twitter.
Friends on Twitter.
That's a good one.
Matthew Morrison would have been friend of the show, Jeremy Jordan.
Oh, never mind.
Aww. Okay.
It worked.
Oh, Bobby is the main character.
Company.
And
the,
yeah.
I don't know who gets that. Well, we both got it. The genie.
Jim Bragahart.
No, me. I keep it. Yes. I keep wanting to give you things.
Costume designer.
Mary Mitchell Campbell.
Wait, my
long.
You just like three. Kevin's just like, what's the three word name?
Bill Coleman, Ben Menu.
Alan Cumming.
This was a play, and it's British, and it had part one and.
Wolf Hall.
Yeah.
Wolf Park.
Part one and two. Oh, I thought it only said part two. Sorry.
It's the other public musical about a president.
Oh, Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
That's right.
Ah, yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
That show's great.
The other one about...
Hamilton!
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
Come on.
Laura Osnes started this.
Cinderella.
Bandstand.
Will
Smith.
He wrote Rent.
Jonathan Larson. Directed Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
Oh.
Alex Timber? No.
Very good.
Yeah? Okay.
Very good. I have a brand over here.
Chicago. Wrote it.
Candor No.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
All right, that's that.
I didn't pick this as my timer.
That's that.
It's not Hot Potato.
So who? Oh. What is it? Whoever, like,
Kimberly,
whoever has the most.
Well, Kimberly.
You started.
So we all have three.
I have four.
Yeah, but we could have
I got
faster.
Four.
I have three.
So
he started. So we have a.
We each write down four.
Oh, right.
So now we see what everybody's points are.
Yep.
I have 10.
Nine.
I have 10.
I have 8.
7.
I'm the winner!
Yay!
Whoa!
What did you win, Kimberly?
What do I get? No
oh,
way.
That's Halloween candy!
Yeah!
I hope you're not allergic to nuts.
That's a good thing to win.
Yeah, you're crazy.
I love it.
All right, dude. That's a good... I didn't know there was a prize even. That's dope. That's
so,
good.
There was!
That actually brings us to the end of our show.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I know.
That's fun.
We didn't get to talk about a lot, but give me one sense about the Kickstarter for the Tonys.
Thanks for doing it, guys.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
It was more vital than a lot of people theorized that it was.
Yeah.
A lot of people were really... We all saw the message boards, and we all saw everyone being very like, oh, this is a ploy. It really wasn't a ploy. Like, you know, I might be... money may have been fronted because it had to be, but like there was no way for us to do that performance if they weren't going to get the money back, because they were literally just giving money out of their pocket to make it happen.
Right.
Because it was, everybody felt vital for America and deaf people in America to get to see this. And also, like, you know, selfishly, that thing made, like, a ginormous dream come true for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And I've also, candidly, never been more nervous in my entire life as I was before I stepped up on that table.
How much of a break was there between closing and Tony Day?
Months.
How much rehearsal did you have?
A week, 4 days, like 3 days.
Wow.
We had 3 days.
Like basically a brush up.
A brush up on the two songs, and then you go to the recording studio and just, like, record some stuff. And not all of it. It's not like lip synced. There's just not much time to do these things. Like the band records.
And the band has to record everything. Yeah, I knew that.
And then we went to the actual space at the Beacon for, I think we had a half hour time slot to do it. And then the next day we were at the Tony Awards and just getting like thrown around. And we were in the basement of the Beacon because we didn't have a theater to go to and from.
Oh, so you didn't have a bus.
We didn't have a bus because we didn't have a...
Just like the kids in the basement.
Yeah. We got to sit there and watch the awards on a TV. And we also watched Michael Arden's face not get shown on the Tonys.
My favorite slash the worst.
It was awful. It was awful because it was...
And it was going, that's not me. It's not me.
Yeah, Chris Fitzgerald was really... He was like, this is not me. Please get the camera off of me. Our whole cast ran around the TV. We're like, it's Michael.
Oh, no, it's not.
And then we were all just
Waitress.
Yeah, it was a bummer, but you know, oversights happen, I guess, sometimes.
So on that note, we always end with a quote, and today it's, let's find a rock. I mean, a big-ass rock. Or maybe something like a cinder block is better. I'll hoist it up and drop it on your face, my buddy.
What is that from?
Just before the lights go out.
That's
a my smile.
Let's find a rock. We'll find a big ass rock.
With the rock.
I knew that part, but the rest of the lyrics I did not know.
Honestly,
that's a great song. It's a great song.
I thought that was Shrek. When Donkey goes like I like that boulder. It's a big ass boulder.
We're going on the table real quickly. We have a new segment called Do It. Where you pick one, we each pick one thing that we want you to do this week, theater wise. I'll start.
Theater wise.
I really want you to see Sing Street. It was in the movie theater. It's a musical that the guy from Once, as well as Begin Again, wrote and directed. It's awesome. Just see Sing Street. Kevin.
Mine is to go on YouTube and watch Hand in Hand, sung by Lindsay Mendez by Carrigan Loudermilk. It will literally make you smile, not just because she's so amazing, but because Brian Loudermilk is actually playing piano.
Mine is silly, and it's my treadmill hack. But on Spotify, listen to the revival cast of the last 5 years and run for the fast songs and walk for the slow songs, and you get a good workout.
That's a good one. Alex.
He's about to leave Hamilton, so make sure that you are following Anthony Ramos on everything and see where this kid's star goes, because I've never met somebody and immediately known that they were going to do amazing things.
As they say, who is this kid? What's he going to do?
I'm not even mad, because
yeah.
I'm not even mad.
So we end every episode with they...
Zoo-choo-wop.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks. You'll listen to us next week.
Bye.
See you later.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.